and loss and grief parts of this story. We've got a lot of that in our lives right now. The whole human family does, which is a pretty staggering thought. This is a story about those things, but it is mostly a story about life. It is a story about the faithfulness of God in Jesus to speak into the empty, lifeless places and command that there be life, to call the Spirit, the Lord of all life, to breathe upon us and release us and raise us. Jesus is God's faithfulness for us, calling life to get up, stand up, come forth. It is a story about God's faithfulness to bring life where that seems impossible. This story is God's promise for us. I want to tell you a story. It's a human story, and in some ways a silly story, especially with the stakes so high these days. It is a story about anger and grief and loss, and it is a story about the faithfulness of God to breathe life into us and to call us out of empty tombs. It's not my story. It's a story about a man named Harry Pritchett when Harry was a boy. Harry is one of the legendary parish priests in the Episcopal Church over these past two generations. He was the longtime rector of All Saints in Atlanta, where, among others, he mentored Barbara Brown Taylor and helped her find her exquisite preaching voice. I heard Harry tell this story at a clergy conference that I actually attended about 15 years ago. Harry grew up, I think, in Huntsville, Alabama, and his father was a local political luminary there. This was during the Second World War. And one of the things that was going on then, and some of our older members might remember it, was that there would be these great big rallies to sell war bonds to support the war effort. And one of the ways to get people to come out to these rallies was to have a movie star in attendance. Harry recalls that at breakfast one morning when he was 10 years old, his father announced that he had some exciting news about who was going to be at the war bond rally that night. He had just learned that there was going to be a special guest there who would arrive by train just in time for the rally. "Guess who it is?" Harry's father asked his son. Harry said, "I don't know, Dad, who is it?" His dad leaned back in his chair beaming and he said, "The Silver Angel, Veronica Lake." Harry said all the breath got sucked out of him and he couldn't breathe or speak. Holy cow, Veronica Lake. Now, for those of you who don't know, Veronica Lake at that time was the latest sizzling young movie starlet that everyone was talking about. Her trademark was this peekaboo hairdo, where her bangs would go over one eye and she would look around at you. Just the mention of her name left Harry breathless and dizzy. "And," Harry's father went on, "that's not all. Since I've been helping to organize this rally, there's something else." "What?" Harry exclaimed. Harry's father said, "After the rally, she, Veronica Lake, is going to come over here to our house to meet you, Harry." Harry couldn't talk. He couldn't breathe. "What?" he finally said. "Yep," his father said, "coming right over here. Now don't tell anyone. This is a secret. You can tell them about it after. But I promise you, Harry, that tonight, Veronica Lake is going to be standing right here in this kitchen. I promise." Well, of course, Harry couldn't keep a secret. He blabbed it all over school that day, in class, on the playground, in the lunchroom. "Veronica Lake is coming to my house tonight," he told everyone. Of course, they all thought he was crazy, that he was trying to be a big shot, just making up a crazy story. Harry insisted, "She'll be there because my dad promised." That night, Harry could barely eat his dinner. He was too excited. The plan was that after the rally, Harry's father would drive Veronica Lake back over to meet him, and then he would take her on to the train station for her next stop. After dinner, Harry's father got home, but he was alone. But he said, "She'll be over here in just a little bit." She got held up. But then, first, a half an hour, and then an hour, and then 2 hours passed, and no Veronica Lake. Finally, Harry's father said, "I am sorry, son, but you need to go on to bed. I'm sorry." Harry said, "Dad, you don't understand. I told everybody at school that Veronica Lake was coming to my house. I will be the laughingstock of school. My life will be over. Dad, you promised." His father said, "I know, Harry, I know. I'm sorry. But you have to go to bed." Harry said that he lay in bed, thrashing around, miserable, wound up in his sweaty sheets, about what he'd have to face at school the next day. The truth was, his life was over and done with. Why had he blabbed? Why had his father promised? Eventually, worn out by worry and disappointment and fear, he fell asleep. Maybe what happened later was a knock at the door that awakened him. He was never sure. And then he thought he heard voices outside his door. And finally, he saw the door open up and the light from the hallway spill into his room. And then, there she was, walking, gliding into his room, the silver angel, Veronica Lake. She walked over to Harry's bed and leaned over, her peekaboo hair falling to the side. Harry remembers that she blew on his face till his eyelids fluttered and she knew he was awake. And then she leaned in and said, "Hi, Harry," and leaned over and kissed him on the cheek. And as great, as astounding as that was, Veronica Lake in his room, calling his name, kissing his cheek, as great as that was, even better was seeing something else. It was seeing his father standing in the doorway, beaming at him. His father had kept his promise. It wasn't, as had seemed so certain, the end of his life. It was only the beginning. Jesus said to him, "Unbind him and let him go." And Lazarus walks from the tomb. And so shall we. Our Father will keep his promise to breathe life into us, to fill up the empty places with life raised up and rejoicing. In Jesus, the Beloved One, beloved of God, beloved of his people, God has promised. That is our story.